Mr. Reagan, after the election, is going to have to propose a tax increase.
You know, I wasn't going to say this at all, but I can't help it. There you go again. There you go again. There you go again. There you go again. There you go again.
He's a national bomb. America should shoot the president. Where's Spain?
Hunt, 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 hunt. I am taken to the Justice League of America. The U.S. of A. Hey, you. Yes, you. Yes, you in particular. When it comes to the judgment day,
I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan. We should get an actor president, you know. Hey, tear down that wall. I want to visit the rest of the SS graves. Tear it down. No, couldn't get worse than him, though. Just say slogans. Just say no, unless the drugs are from the Contras. Then just say C.
That was political satirist Barry Crimmins with some of his comments about Ronald Reagan. This is the Ronald Reagan Mythbuster Show. I am your host, Chuck Yu. The Reagan Mythbuster Show was a live radio broadcast on station WMBR in Cambridge on Thursday, February 17th. We will be joining a recording of the live program, already in progress, shortly. But first, a comment from a spokesperson of the anti-nuclear movement of the 80s, Dr. Helen Caldicott.
The next thing he said was, "It's easy to love your friend. What it's hard to do is love your enemy." The nuclear age has brought us full circle, so that now becomes a moral imperative. People say, but I don't trust the Russians. They say it all the time. In truth, we trust them every second of our lives. Our destiny lies in their hands, not ours.
Well, you see, the Russians aren't stupid. Russian flesh burns at the same temperature as American flesh. They have the same scientific data that we do. We can overkill them 40 times. They start a conventional war in Europe, and the NATO-US doctrine is first use of nuclear weapons. Are they patently stupid? I hope not. You say you don't trust the Russians. You're trusting them right now. You put your fate in their hands right now.
What an enormous amount of trust to place in another nation that we label as our enemy. And if you don't like the guy in the other end of your lifeboat, you don't drill a hole in his end to fix him.
I am not frightened by what lies ahead, and I don't believe the American people are frightened by what lies ahead.
Hey, brother, what's the score? Now you're talking about a third world war. I went walking out of door.
Behind me right now is the Antibellist Afrobeat, their tune called Ice from their Security CD. Can let them be the backdrop for our opening salvo of this, looking at the Reagan myth of his supposed greatness in our history. He died back in 2004, and at that time I had a show here called No Censorship Radio, and I did a little phone survey on that show about Reagan's death. So we'll hear some comments from various folks at that time reflecting on Reagan at the time that he died. And we had a lot of reflection recently on his 100th birthday, but and we'll also hear some comments from Barry Crimmins, and then take off from there. I've got a lot of material here, though I didn't necessarily arrange it in any particular order, so it's a little scattered about, but we'll see how it all comes together.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
While mainstream media reflects upon the Reagan years, we here at Block Cube realize that he embodied the current constitutional crisis we find ourselves in. Your comments and personal messages for Chuck and Di are welcome.
Facts are stupid things.
Bombing in 5 minutes. I'm pleased to tell you today that I'm pleased to tell you today that
I really don't think it's accurate to say that the mainstream media reflects on the death of Reagan. I think that they are unreflectively just parroting a lot of lies that are sort of couched as myths, as unquestioned truths. And I think that's extremely dangerous. And I look forward to hearing what No Censorship Radio will do on Friday night regarding Reagan for a breath of fresh friggin' air. Oops, I said the F word.
Ronald Reagan's stinking evil hand continues to wreak havoc even from the grave. Today the post office was closed in honor of his death, and I couldn't mail some stuff.
Reagan was the worst. The downward spiral of America started from that man's dim vortex of an empty mind. Hell, there was nothing at the bottom of that mind. Or was it a mind? No, mine would be mine, but that's different from mine.
Let's see, there's Iran-Contra.
I went to the picket line of Fleet, and Barney Frank was talking about putting Ronald Reagan on the $10 bill the other day. I don't think they should. I think they should put Harry Truman on a $10 bill. Neither one. I don't know. Any other comments? Quirks? Nothing. All right. Bye.
And we haven't spoken to you since the tragic death of 93-year-old Ronald Reagan at 93. You know, when he was president, it took 93 Nicaraguan children to live as long as he did. So, and Central America has noted Reagan's passing by turning their own personal terror warning down to green.
Well, the first thing I want to say is, mandate my ass. Because it seems as though we've been convinced that 26% of the registered voters, not even 26% of the American people, but 26% of the registered voters form a mandate or a landslide. 21% voted for Skippy and 3-4% voted for somebody else who might have been running. But oh yeah, I remember. In this year that we have now declared the year from Shogun to Reagan, I remember what I said about Reagan. Minute. Acted like an actor. Hollywood. Acted like a liberal. Acted like General Franco when he acted like governor of California. Then he acted like a Republican. Then he acted like somebody was going to vote for him for president. And now we act like 26% of the registered voters is actually a mandate. We're all actors in this, I suppose. What has happened is that in the last 20 years, America has changed from a producer to a consumer. And all consumers know that when the producer names the tune, the consumer has got to dance. It's the way it is. We used to be a producer, very inflexible at that, and now we are consumers and finding it difficult to understand. Natural resources and minerals will change your world. The Arabs used to be in the third world. They have bought the second world and put a firm down payment on the first one. Controlling your resources will control your world. This country has been surprised by the way the world looks now. They don't know if they want to be Matt Dillon or Bob Dylan. They don't know if they want to be diplomats or continue the same policy of nuclear nightmare diplomacy. John Foster Dulles ain't nothing but the name of an airport now. The idea concerns the fact that this country wants nostalgia. They want to go back as far as they can, even if it's only as far as last week. not to face now or tomorrow, but to face backwards. And yesterday was the day of our cinema heroes riding to the rescue at the last possible moment. The day of the man in the white hat or the man on the white horse. Or the man who always came to save America at the last moment. Someone always came to save America at the last moment. Especially in B-movies. And when America found itself having a hard time facing the future, they looked for people like John Wayne. But since John Wayne was no longer available, they settled for Ronald Reagan. And it has placed us in a situation that we can only look at like a B-movie. Come with us back to those inglorious days when heroes weren't zeros, before fair was square, when the cavalry came straight away and all American men were like Hemingway, to the days of the wondrous B-movie. The producer, underwritten by all the millionaires necessary, will be Casper the Defensive Weinberger. No more animated a choice is available. The director will be Attila the Hague, running around frantically declaring himself in control and in charge. The ultimate realization of the inmates taking over at the asylum. The screenplay will be adapted from the book called Voodoo Economics by George Papadoc Bush. Music by the village people, the very military, macho men. A theme song for saber rattling and selling wars door to door. Remember, we're looking for the closest thing we can find to John Wayne. Cliches abound like kangaroos, courtesy of some spaced out Marlon Perkins, a Reagan contemporary. Cliches like itchy trigger finger and tall in the saddle and riding off or on into the sunset. Cliches like get off of my planet by sundown. More so than cliches like he died with his boots on. Marine tough to manage, Bogart tough to manage, Cagney tough to manage, Hollywood tough to manage, cheap steak tough, and Bonzo substantial. The ultimate in synthetic selling, a Madison Avenue masterpiece, a miracle, a cotton candy politician. Pesto macho. Macho, macho. Put your orders in America, and quick as Kodak, your leaders duplicate with the accent being on the dupes. Because all of a sudden we have fallen prey to selective amnesia, remembering what we want to remember and forgetting what we choose to forget. All of a sudden the man who called for a bloodbath on our college campuses is supposed to be Dudley goddamn Durack. You go give them liberals hell, Ronnie. That was the mandate to the new Captain Bly on the new ship of fools. It was doubtlessly based on his chameleon performance in the past as a liberal Democrat, as the head of the Studio Actors Guild, when other celluloid saviors were cringing in terror from McCarthy, Ron stood tall. It goes all the way back from Hollywood to Hillbilly, from liberal to libelous, from Bonzo to Perchite or Born Again. Civil rights, women's rights, gay rights, it's all wrong. Call in the cavalry to disrupt this perception of freedom gone wild. God damn it, first one wants freedom, then the whole damn world wants freedom. Nostalgia, that's what we want. The good old days, when we gave them hell. When the buck stopped somewhere and you could still buy something with it. To a time when movies was in black and white, and so was everything else. Even if we go back to the campaign trail, before Six Gun Ron shot off his face and developed hoof and mouth. Before the free press went down before full court press and were reluctant to view the menu because they knew the only thing available was Crow. Lon Chaney, our man of a thousand faces. No match for Ron. Doug Henning does the makeup. Special effects from Grecian Formula 16 and Crazy Glue. Transportation furnished by the David Rockefeller Remote Control Company. Their slogan is, why wait for 1984? You can panic now and avoid the rush. So much for the good news. Wall Street goes, so goes the nation, and here's a look at the closing numbers. Racism is up, human rights are down, peace is shaky, war items are hot, the house claims all ties, jobs are down, money is scarce, and common sense is at an all-time low in heavy trading. Movies were looking better than ever, and now no one is looking because we're starring in a big movie, and we would rather had John Wayne. We would rather had
It began a year ago when the so-called free speech advocates, who in truth have no appreciation for freedom, were allowed to assault and humiliate the symbol of law and order, a policeman on the campus, and that was the moment when the ringleaders should have been taken by the scruff of the neck and thrown out of the university once and for all. As a matter of fact, I have here a copy of a report of the district attorney of Alameda County. It concerns a dance that was sponsored by the Vietnam Day Committee, sanctioned by the university as a student activity, and that was held in the men's gymnasium at the University of California. The incidents are so bad, so contrary to our standards of human behavior, that I couldn't possibly recite them to you here from this platform in detail. But there is clear evidence that there were things that shouldn't be permitted on a university campus. Let me just read a few excerpts. The total crowd at the dance was in excess of 3,000, including a number of less than college-age juveniles. Three rock and roll bands were in the center of the gymnasium, playing simultaneously all during the dance. And all during the dance, movies were shown on two screens at the opposite ends of the gymnasium. These movies were the only lights in the gym proper. They consisted of color sequences that gave the appearance of different colored liquids spreading across the screen, followed by shots of men and women on occasion. Shots were the men and women's nude torsos on occasion, and persons twisted and gyrated in provocative and sensual fashion.
Hello to all friends of the draft resistance revolution in America. Good evening, I hope it stops raining. One thing about the draft resistance that's different from other movements and revolutions in this country is that we have no enemies. And it's one of the beautiful things about it. And to show that our hearts are in the right place, we'd sing a song for the governor of California. Ronald Reagan, zap. He's a drugstore truck driving man, and he's ahead of the Ku Klux Klan. When summer comes rolling around, we'll be lucky to get out of town. He's been like a father. Drugstore truck driving man, he's ahead of the Ku Klux Klan. When summer comes rolling around, we'll be lucky to get out of town. We'll be lucky to get out of town.
Without voice nor hear,
President Ronald Reagan, President Ronald Reagan.
To come. This afternoon, the president flew to New York City to accept an award from the National Conference of Christians and Jews for what it called his courageous leadership. In his speech tonight, Mr. Reagan conceded he is bothered by his critics' claim that he's trying to destroy the government's commitment to compassion. What he's trying to do, he said, is save what is best in our system.
Oh, hello. It's nice to see you. Likewise. Listen, maybe you have a recipe for Peking duck. Why you want to make Peking duck?
To come.
Cheese, ketchup, and water.
To come.
Patriots, envy, and bigotry.
To come.
We'll be right back.
are on the brink of a catastrophe.
You can kill me. I sacrifice myself. You can shoot me. But once again, with the prolonged struggle that will take place here.
Bring about the revolutionary situation.
Now they must accept the consequences that violence brings violence.
They have eliminated the segregation that we want in our own country.
Sixth album, Artists United Against Apartheid, that was Revolutionary Situation. The apartheid struggle was going strong then, and Ronald Reagan was certainly helping to keep that system up and running. Before that, we heard from G. Landau with a thing called What's to Come from the State of the Union album, a compilation album of outside artsy stuff against Reagan, 1982. Then we were back in the 1960s with Joan Baez and Jeff Shurtleff with Drugstore Truck Driving Man from Woodstock, and Ronald Reagan himself talking about the Berkeley free speech movement and a dance they held on the campus and how he was complaining and criticized it. But his description of that dance, gee, wish I was there. And Gil Scott-Heron with his tribute to Ronald Reagan in the early 80s, a thing called B-Movie. And we even heard from Barry Crimmins reminiscing on Reagan's death. That's where we were in that set. This is the Troubadour show, though we've kind of left the Troubadour format behind for the most part. I'm Chuck. I've been inspired recently to take a look at the Reagan myth and put it more into a realistic perspective, at least from my perspective anyway. And that's what we're doing here today. And in the meantime, here's a song that does fit the Troubadour format. This is Peggy Seeger with a song she did in 1982 called Please Mr. Reagan.
If you go to Little Pocono beyond the rose and cream,
S S S 20s being the yeovil Ivan Clacton on the scene. But no one was ever aiming anything at me. So please, Mr. Reagan, I'm missing all the fun. The other players in the game have pieces, I've got none. I don't want to live beyond me. Tommy left here all alone. Please let me have a little missile. London or in Naples or in Cannes. You know how many bombs you'll get and what you've got in hand. I think the great atomic final should be hell for all mankind. And little Bookham's very, very, very far behind. I feel so insignificant, it's just like I was poor. Even Dallas cannot raise my spirits anymore. I've got a dandy little shelter. If I had a missile, I could hold it in my lap, and someone on the other side would put me on their map, and I'd be part of our defenses. I could push my button too, then I'd be as good as them and half as good as you.
Professor Chomsky, I'm going to be giving a presentation next. My name is Carl Kurtz. My request is that you elaborate on the remaking of the image of Ronald Reagan.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
And the history coming forward today. Weizenbaum was sort of born at this time of the Reagan Doctrine.
Yeah, Weizenbaum's, I think, is 1984. Yep. Is that correct? 1984? Yeah. In 1984 was an important year in Nicaragua. They had a democratic election. A free democratic election, very carefully monitored, international monitors, British parliamentary human rights inquiry, Irish government parliamentary inquiry, the Dutch government, which is very hostile to the Sandinistas, had an official inquiry. The Latin American Studies Association, that's a professional group of Latin American scholars, not only went to monitor the election, but they sent specialists who'd done field work in Nicaragua there for several weeks beforehand. They all reached the same conclusion. It was a very free and fair election. The Sandinistas won the election. Okay, they're unpeople, remember. So the position of the U.S. government was the election didn't take place. And approximately 100% of the media took the same position. In fact, they staged a way of trying to drive the election off the front pages. They staged a delivery, an alleged delivery of MiGs, Russian MiGs, to Nicaragua right at the time of the election. Of course, front pages are Russians delivering MiGs to Nicaragua, you know, threat to the United States. In fact, not long after, Reagan declared a national emergency because of the threat to the security of the United States posed by the government of Nicaragua, which you'll remember was only 2 days away from Harlingen, Texas. I mean, we're just about to be destroyed by these hordes. And the media went along and commentary went along. I mean, some were skeptical. They said, well, maybe, like our senator, Paul Tsongas, liberal senator, said, well, you know, maybe they really aren't sending MiGs. But if they are, we got to bomb them. Because obviously we can't allow MiGs to be in a country like Nicaragua, which could destroy us if they tried. Okay, it took care of the election.
Oh, mama. mama look there. The children are playing in the street again. Don't you know what happened down there? A youth of 14 got shot down there. The cocaine guns are jammed downtown. The killing clowns are blood money men. Washington bullets again. As every cell in Chile will tell the cries of the tortured men. Remember a name the day before the army came. Please remember Victor Jara in the Santiago Stadium. There, there, those Washington bullets again. And in the playoff pigs in 1961, Havana for the playboy and the Cuban sun. For Castro is the color is a redder than red. Those Washington bullets won Castro dead. For Castro is the color. The bullet was spray of lead. Moscow bullets missed. Ask him what he thinks of voting communist. Ask the Dalai Lama in the hills of Tibet. How many months did the Chinese get? In a war-torn swamp, stop any mercenary. Check the British bullets in his armor.
There with Washington Bullets, which is actually the title track of their Sandinista 3-record set that came out in 1981. The tune is called Washington Bullets, but it had the Sandinista refrain in it. Before that, we heard some comments from Noam Chomsky talking about the situation with Nicaragua and Sandinista. The Sandinistas. We're going to return to Noam Chomsky, where he actually elaborates more on the Reagan myth as soon as I get that queued up here. Peggy Seeger started that set up with Please Mr. Reagan from the album called From Where I Stand. And this is a special edition, I guess you could say, of the Troubadour Show, because it's certainly not Troubadour format, as we're looking back at the Reagan legacy, the Reagan myth, from a very left perspective. So let's return to some more comments from Noam Chomsky here about that, here on WMBR in Cambridge.
1984. What about Reagan? Reagan was a brutal thug and coward. I won't run through his record, but it was just a disgrace. I mean, there are now books coming out by liberal historians saying, well, he wasn't as dumb as we thought. He really knew what was going on. He's a good guy. They don't understand that by saying that he knew what was going on, that's the worst condemnation you can make of it. I mean, you could sort of say, okay, maybe he's a nice guy, didn't know what the heck was happening, so he's not so awful. But if he actually knew what was going on and had any role in planning it, then he's a major criminal. And in fact, he was not a popular president. You take a look back at the polls through the 80s, you find he had sort of normal popularity, and nothing special. After he was out of office, and especially after there was a huge propaganda campaign developed to deify him. You remember, I'm sure, when he died, that performance in Washington, it was like Kim Il-sung. It was an embarrassment to the country. And yeah, he was made into kind of an icon. People have probably now forgotten what he was or how much, you know, what actual attitudes were towards him. So yes, he's up on some pantheon. And every Republican candidate has to say, you know, I'm the new Ronald Reagan. In fact, Barack Obama the other day praised Reagan as somebody who had brought about change. Yeah, brought about change. He changed millions of people into corpses, for example. But he was also the most protectionist president in post-war American history. Otherwise, the whole country would have been bought off by Japan in those years. Yeah, that's Ronald Reagan. And the creation of a deity, it was astonishing. I mean, in a way, it's what they did with Petraeus on September 11th. You know, this divine creature, you can't say a word against him. The PR industry, public relations industry, is very sophisticated. I mean, they know what they're doing. In fact, they were, I want to go through history, it was founded in the First World War and was imitated by Hitler, openly, publicly. You know, they said, we're going to use the techniques of American commercial advertising to turn this country, and they did. They turned the most civilized country in the world into the worst barbarians in history, using the kinds of commercial advertising that were developed primarily here.
Last call for alcohol. Last call for your freedom of speech. Drink up. Happy hour is now enforced by law. Don't forget our house special. It's called the Tricky Dicky Screwdriver. It's got one part Jack Daniels, parts purple Kool-Aid, and trigger formaldehyde from the Charles Hitler's brain in the way back in the back storeroom. Happy dreams to you. I am Emperor Ronald Reagan, born again with fascist cravings. President, human rights will soon go away. I'm now going shopping. Now I command all of you. Now you're gonna parade in school, and I'll make sure they grease you too. California, Uber Alice, California, Uber Alice, Uber Alice, California. Turn on those Dallas Cowboys on your TV.
You'll go quietly to boot camp. Yes, you just did make you a man. Don't you worry, it's for a cause. Feeding all the preparations cause. Dying on a brand new poison gas. A Salvador, Afghanistan. Making money for President Reagan. Making money for President Reagan. Another friend, President Reagan. California.
Yeah, Jello Biafra and the Dead Kennedys with their remake of California Uberalis called A Bigger Problem Now. It was hard to believe in retrospect that he actually wrote that song about Jerry Brown in 1979. But after Reagan became president, as he said, we have a bigger problem. So he kind of worked it out to be about Reagan, which is a lot more fitting. He said writing it about Jerry Brown was a little misguided. Before that, we heard more comments from Noam Chomsky and The Clash, a dub thing that they did under that. And we're carrying on with this Reagan theme here, looking at the Reagan myth of the great presidency and the great man. Well, we're taking just an alternative view of that, which is what we're all about here at WMBR, bringing you a different perspective from the mainstream and the main culture. We'll go back now to 1984 and hear from a local band, as long as we're kind of in this punk vein, the local band Chaos with their thing called Hail Reagan, and we have some of Reagan's 1984 State of the Union message over the song. Hi, Christopher Biasetti, the White.
Once again, in keeping with time-honored tradition, I have come to report to you on the State of the Union. And I'm pleased to report that America is much improved. America is back, standing tall, looking to the 80s with courage, confidence, and hope. Forgot the American dream isn't one of making government bigger. It's keeping faith with the mighty spirit of free people under God. On the international scene, we had an uncomfortable feeling that we'd lost the respect of friend and foe. Some questioned whether we had the will to defend peace and freedom. But America is too great for small dreams. There was a hunger in the land for a spiritual revival, if you will, a crusade for renewal.
Fire! Fire! Fire!
The American people said, let us look to the future with confidence, both at home and abroad. Americans were ready to make a new beginning. And together, we have done it.
California, Uberalis, California, Uberalis, Uberalis, California.
ICC, State of the Union, keep your greed. State of the Union, I don't need you. State of the Union, I never joined. What I put asunder, let no God join. This union was spawned by merchants, Lawrence. Why pay Killers taxes? Beat the draft. learn to dodge the bureau shaft. Beat them at their own stupid crap. Hey, State of the Union, it's a lie. That's just the way they cop the pie. You lay low and they live high. You work that way until you die. They wrap themselves around the flag, kick commie and flog a fag. Watch them do that patriot rag. State of the Union, it's a sitcom gag. State of the Union, uniforms and can. Mumbo jumbo politician rant. Hey, I'd rather hear an honest jungle chant. State of the Union, laws and guns. That's the way your system runs. Maybe you force me to do it for now, but I don't believe it anyhow. State of the Union, when I'm born, I don't need your long form. State of the Union, when I don't need your good luck. Hey, State of the Union, when I go, I don't want you ghouls to even know.
Yeah. time. My country wrong or right. I wanna know what that's got to do with what it takes to find out what's true.
The United States undercut its allies and secretly violated American policy against trafficking with terrorists.
About the war in the Middle East, we have the soldiers that keep the peace. We, the KGB and the CIA, have a plan.
The charge has been made that the United States has shipped weapons to Iran as ransom payment for the release of American hostages.
Mr. Reagan has a thing about our troops.
We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
To gain some degree of access and influence within Iran, as well as Iraq, and to bring about an honorable end to that bloody conflict.
Sean memory must have a memory.
Will to be bring an honorable end to the war in Vietnam.
We here at Block Cube feel that Donald Lame Duck Reagan and his cabinet of disinformation have gone too far this time. Meanwhile, you who've made this phone call have a right to rebuttal at the sound of the beep.
Now democracy is okay, but I think it's gone too far. And a president is all right, but I'd rather have a shot.
We better wake up this time.
To divest more than $400 million in stocks of companies doing business in racially segregated South Africa. Others are protesting U.S. involvement in Central America.
There's a country where no one knows what's going on in the rest of the world. Where minds are closed with just a few asking questions, like what do the leaders say in sessions behind closed doors? And if this is the perfect way, why do we need these goddamn lies? This doesn't go down too well. We give you everything, you throw it back. Don't like it, hear you go to hell. You're either with or against us. Mm-hmm. street is great and wide. It's got the biggest of everything. Try to attack it and you can't hide. Don't say that you haven't been warned. You can't hide in a gunman's mask or kill innocent folks and run. But if you're good, they might ask. Come on over to the other side. There's a country that's tired of war. There's a country that's scared inside. But the bank is open, you can draw for guns to fight in the backyard. Of this is just another tiny blow against the empire. Another blow against the evil
Joe Jackson with his tribute to Ronald Reagan in the later part of the 1980s with a song called Evil Empire from the Blaze of Glory CD. I think it came out in 1987. Before that, we heard little clips of Genesis, Land of Confusion, Jackson Brown for America, and a whole bunch of little cuts about the Iran-Contra scandal with Reagan and bits of songs running in and out of that. It's something I produced back in 1986. Mojo Nixon by request with I Ain't Gonna Piss in No Jar. Tule Kupferberg did a rant from the State of the Union album of 1982, I believe, and Chaos, local band from the early 80s, with their tune Hail Reagan. It was the Chuck U mix with bits of Reagan and Hitler. Of course, Hitler's always kind of overdone these days from both sides of the aisle, I guess, but it seemed appropriate at the time. What can I say? I had a request for the Reagan Youth, and I went out to our library and didn't find any Reagan Youth out there. Too bad. That's a pretty cool request.